Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. Each week, we bring you news and information that you won't hear anywhere else. We try to connect you to the people, places, and geography of what you read about in God's Word. It's very important that you do that so you can understand what's going on in that part of the world. On this edition of the Middle East Report, I'm going to interview a former congresswoman who is very well known, and you'll understand why I said that here in just a minute when I fully introduce her. And of course, we're going to talk about Joe Biden, who is no longer at the top of the ticket for the presidential nomination. Most people agree that the Democratic Party has drifted very far from its support of the Jewish people and the land of Israel, and especially being pushed by the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. The Progressive Party of the Democrats continue to call for Israel to get out of Gaza, to stop the war there, and to give Hamas the victory. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more with a special interview from Nashville, Tennessee. I am so excited to have our special guest with us today, Michelle Bachmann, former congresswoman, presidential candidate, dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. Michelle, thank you for your work in our country. Thank you for your love for the Jewish people.
Well, thank you for your kind welcome and inviting me to be on your show. I can also add an addendum now. Regent University Robertson School of Government has just launched the Israel Institute. And this has been in the works for about 3 years, and it's interesting. I guess there is no such thing as a coincidence. We launched it the week of the riots on the Columbia University campus, announcing that we actually want to be a solution. We want to teach not only our students at Regent University, but we want to make available to other universities, to churches, Bible studies, individuals, curriculum so that people can go through the curriculum to understand Israel, the truth of Israel, the history, the political, the legal right that the Jewish people have to the land. And also, Christian Broadcasting Network has produced 6 beautiful documentaries, and now they're launching a 7th one. One is on Israel's illegal right to the land. One looks at the lives, the biographies of the founders of Israel. Another one looks at the Six-Day War and the miraculous nature of that war. The newest one that's coming out is about the genius of Israel. So we're launching that, and also we want to put up factual answers to the propaganda that's being put out today, especially on TikTok and Instagram and other venues, where especially millennials and Gen Z are being negatively impacted with lies and delusionary statements. And instead, what we want to do is counter that with the facts and the truth.
This is going to be available to everybody, not just if you're a college student.
Anyone will be able to come to the, so it'll be regent.edu, the Robertson School of Government, and then the Israel Institute, and we're launching this fall. The other thing we want to do, quite frankly, is the reason why I think we have so many problems today with our policy in the United States is because the State Department is filled with people who've taken off a Team Israel jersey, and instead they've put on a Team Iran jersey. And Iran is designated by the United States as the chief state sponsor of terrorism in the world. Since 1979, they've made no secret of the fact that they want to see the death and destruction of the United States. They want to see the death and destruction of the Jewish people and of the Jewish state of Israel. So it's very strange that in our own U.S. State Department, we employ people who want to be on advancing Iran's goal of death to Israel, death to America. Those people need to go. But the problem has been too many universities have been anti-Israel, and they've been training their students in more propaganda than facts. And so what we want to do is train hundreds of PhD students and get them credentialed so that they can go and get jobs in the State Department dealing with our foreign policy and in the Department of Defense and the Department of Justice, the Pentagon. That's our goal. is to get people credentialed with the truth so that they can be involved as policymakers. And also donors, actually, because one thing that I've been praying about is that I would really like to see as many people who are serious about getting a PhD and understanding Israel, I'd love to be able to scholarship every student so it wouldn't cost them anything. And this is an online program. And so people from around the world, I'd love to be able to do this, but of course we can't do it unless we have money to pay for those scholarships. So, maybe a person can't come to school, but they may be able to scholarship someone who can. Can you imagine how we could change the world if we could get people who have a proper understanding of Israel and get them teaching in Columbia University and being involved in our government and in business? So that is part of our goal. The other part of our goal, John, is we want to get students, thousands of students, studying abroad in Israel. That's our goal, because once they study in Israel, it will change them. So that's also part of our program, is to get people to spend a semester abroad studying in Israel.
Well, you need to find out more when you go to Regent University, find out more about what they are doing. We want to talk about what's happening in Israel, what happened in Israel. And you and I have not talked for a couple of years. We spoke to each other at a Jerusalem prayer breakfast a couple of years ago, and that was before October 7th. Can you just give me your hearts on what happened on October 7th, where you were, what you were thinking, and now, what's going through your mind?
Well, October 7th, I woke up in a hotel to a phone call. I was in Paris. I was flying back from Europe to the United States, and a friend of mine who lived in southern Israel said, Michelle, I just want you to know some terrible things are happening in southern Israel. We don't know what everything is, but it looks like there's attacks coming from Hamas. And I just had a sense in my gut that this was different, that this was really bad. And so I got on the plane, went back to the United States, and then, like everyone else, learned the horrors as they played out. It was different for me, because when I was 18 years of age, I went to Israel as a volunteer at Kibbutz Be'eri, and I was pulling weeds in a cotton field as an 18-year-old. But I knew people on that kibbutz. And so that was where some of the worst slaughter was, on that kibbutz. And I knew some of the people who were killed. Later on, I found out that they were slaughtered that morning. And it's almost impossible to fully understand the little children who were murdered in cold blood and violated in every way in their body. It's vile what happened. We understand that vileness. But it wasn't an isolated incident. What many people don't understand is that almost every day, Jews are attacked in Israel. It might be a knife attack, it might be a gun, it might be a car trying to run over a Jew. This hatred of Jews is over a thousand years old, of mothers teaching their children. I can't even imagine this. I'm a mother of 5 biological kids. We had 23 foster kids we raised. We would never teach our children to hate anybody. We taught our children, when we'd send them out the door to go to school, we'd say, be kind and good in everything you say and do. And to think that mothers, Arab mothers, not all, but Arab mothers in Gaza or in the Palestinian Authority, teach their children that Jews aren't human and that their job is to grow up and kill them. Now, we can't even imagine that, but it's a reality, and we saw it happen on October 7th. What mothers have been teaching their children played out. And so I've heard phone calls of the terrorists to their parents saying, Father, be proud of me. I'm a hero. I killed 10 Jews today. Mother, I'm a hero. I beheaded a Jew. And then they were dancing in the streets and handing out prizes to each other. We can't imagine. This is a mindset we can't imagine. It is evil. It is wrong. And that's what has to change. The mindset that says, just like the Nazis, that their mindset was Jews aren't human, therefore we should kill them. It's a satanic mindset, a demonic mindset. And the people in Gaza who believe this, and about 80% do. So it isn't like they're innocent victims. They believe this hatred of the Jews. This cannot be allowed to go on. Because remember, after World War II, after the Nazis were defeated, there was a denazification of the people of Germany. They had to go through I don't know if brainwashing is the word, but they had to go through training that they could no longer hold the beliefs that Jews weren't human. And that happens to this day in Germany. The students have to be taught. The same thing has to happen in Gaza. The same thing has to happen with the Palestinian Authority. Israel should not have to live next to people who are taught that it's their highest goal to kill Jews.
And right now, we have the Biden administration with relations to Israel at an all-time low, as we all know. And the Biden administration, I think, playing to the progressive wing and the Muslim community in a potential plan of Biden. Now, this has not been enacted to admit people from Gaza into our country. The things that are going on at the White House with this current Biden administration and the relationship to Israel, how do you see all that?
Well, it's not new, unfortunately. Through the 8 years of the Obama administration, I was serving in the United States Congress at that time. I was floored, beginning with President Obama's first speech in Cairo, where it was very clear he invited the Muslim Brotherhood, which Hamas is a franchise of the Muslim Brotherhood. Their design and goal is to conquer the world for Islam and to annihilate the Jews. And President Obama literally invited the Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood to be in the front row. They were his guests of honor. And we saw this throughout his administration, that essentially President Obama wanted to further the aims and goals of the Iranian government. Again, the chief state sponsor of terrorism in the world. And he enabled over $200 billion to go to enrich the Iranians and to build out their nuclear program, which they've said very clearly, unapologetically, they will use nuclear weapons to annihilate the Jewish people, kill them, and annihilate Israel, and they would use nuclear weapons against the United States. Why in the world would an American president further the aims of Iran? Well, Joe Biden today has the same people in charge of foreign policy that Barack Obama did, and so we're seeing the same exact policy.
Well, there's a lot of people across the country, including the Biden administration, and even some Republicans that are saying, hey, we need a two-state solution. And you alluded to the Palestinian Authority and to maybe what's going to happen, you know, after Israel defeats Hamas in Gaza. Is the two-state solution good? I mean, is the Palestinian Authority a good partner in peace?
No, they've proven themselves to be murderers and terrorists, because that's what they are. They pay terrorists for killing Jews. So no, they're not a partner for peace. They're a partner for war. And they themselves have said they reject two-state solution. They want a one-state solution, an Arab state, because their dream and goal, it's in the Hamas charter, is that every Jew is dead in the world, not just in Israel. They want to kill every Jew. And people who aren't Jews, but they aren't Muslim, they need to know that the aim and goal is to kill Christians and to kill anyone who's not in alignment with the Islamic belief. So this is very serious, and they haven't been able to be as successful as they are right now. This is probably the most successful these Islamic jihadists have ever been. And that's why the only thing they respect is strength, and all they're getting out of the Biden White House is absolute weakness. The Biden White House is fueling what's happening in the Middle East, and actually they're paying for it. They're paying billions of dollars to terrorists right now. Remember when Joe Biden made his trip over to Israel after October 7th? He brought a check with him for the Palestinian Authority. He didn't have a check for Israel, but he had $300 million for Hamas, the ones who had murdered the Jews. He said, oh, it's for the people of Gaza. Well, it didn't go to the people of Gaza. It went to the terror organization that runs Gaza. That's Hamas. So we have been lied to and defrauded since October 7th with our policies.
The Biden administration says they want to reform the Palestinian Authority so that they can take over in Gaza. What do you think of that idea?
Well, it's impossible because the people of Gaza hate Jews. Again, like I said, it's in their charter. Our goal is to kill every Jew in the world. You don't reform people like that. You defeat them. And that's what has to happen. Not only Hamas, but again, the people who live in Gaza. Not only the Palestinian Authority, which hasn't had an election in about 14 years, but the people who live in the Palestinian Authority, because they've sharpened their knives, they've loaded the bullets in their guns, and their goal is to kill every Jew. We've got to recognize what their aims are. That is not humanitarian, and we've got to defeat their aims.
The International Criminal Court, a lot of people have heard about this, has wants to issue an arrest warrant for Prime Minister Netanyahu, and in the same breath, wants to issue an arrest warrant for some of the leaders of Hamas, equating both of them as murderers or as creating some kind of war crimes.
Well, it shows how morally bankrupt the International Criminal Court is and why it was wise for the United States to stay out from under its jurisdiction. Israel is not under their jurisdiction. But right now, the Islamic jihadists believe they're winning in global opinion, and they're not necessarily wrong about that. So they think this is their moment. There's a common phrase that they're using now. It's by any means necessary. They want to dominate the globe with Islam, and they say within our lifetime, within our lifetime. So they believe that this is their moment, and that's why the only thing that will defeat them is the United States being strong and victorious. Unfortunately, the Biden administration has failed at that test. But let's not forget, you and I, John, have the luxury of a conversation right now. If Iran has a nuclear weapon, they are the only nation on earth that will use it. They will use it on the United States. They will use it on Israel. We need to understand this is a desperate reality. So we're sitting in Nashville. Imagine if Nashville had a nuclear bomb go off and literally millions of people were killed. That Iran has no problem with doing that. No other nation on earth that has nuclear bombs would do that. They exercise restraint, not Iran. They have avowed, as a matter of fact, in Tehran, the largest city in Iran, there's something called Palestine Square, and there's a doomsday clock. And the doomsday clock is set to the day that they will annihilate Israel. They believe that this will happen. This is their stated goal. And any president who fails to take seriously the goals of the Ayatollah and Iran is a fool. But worse than that, that president will have blood on their hands of perhaps innocent Americans. You know, there was a report of two Jordanians that tried to storm the gates at Quantico with a truck. And this may have been a trial run. We may see attacks in the United States. And our director of the FBI, Chris Wray, had announced in three different hearings in the last couple of months in the United States, he believes an attack within the United States is imminent. We need to pay attention. And my first thought was, hey, Chris Wray, the director of the FBI, why don't you tell your boss that and tell your boss to protect the United States of America? Because we're sitting ducks right now. And apparently Joe Biden has decided not to take his FBI director's warning seriously. If we have a direct attack, and let's face it, probably 13, 14 million unvetted people have crossed that border. How many are terrorists? How many have established beachheads across the United States with nuclear weapons, a dirty bomb, to do something to blow up U.S. cities? I'm not saying that to fearmonger. I'm telling people we have got to get serious about the threats that the United States is taking, and we've got to demand that our president, between now and Election Day, start looking out for the United States and stop aiding and abetting America-hating terrorists across the world and those who seek the destruction of Jews and the Jewish state.
All of this sounds so discouraging, you know, when you start thinking about all these things, you know, going on in Israel and in our country. But Michelle, you're one of the most optimistic people that I know when it comes to Israel, when it comes to what's going on in our country. And you joined a whole bunch of Christians and Jewish leaders in signing a letter that I saw not long ago that had to do with the land of Israel. In fact, the campaign is Keep God's Land. Yes. I know you want to talk about that because that's deep on your heart right now.
Well, it is. And when you look at Joel chapter 3, verse 2, it's clear that God judges any nation negatively that seeks to divide the land of Israel or separate the Jewish people from the land. That has deadly consequences for any nation. And so we want to keep God's land. We want a one-state solution. Just like the Arabs want a one-state solution, they want to wipe out and kill every Jew and destroy the Jewish land. We want to keep God's land, the Jewish land. God wrote the parameters of the Jewish land. It's Genesis 15, 18. He gave the boundaries for the land, but he also wrote a covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's forever. There's no ending date on this covenant. And the covenant is between a people, the Jews, and a particular land, Genesis 15, 18, for the purpose of blessing all families on earth. If your listeners want to be blessed, then we bless God's covenant, which is his people and his land. If we curse them, then we bring curses on ourselves and we bring curses on our country. Because I believe that the Bible's true. And so if the Bible is true, we show it by obeying the word of God.
Right now, there is such a huge Bible illiterate community out there, you know, when it comes to the Word of God and the covenants that God has given to the Jewish people, and you know how we should look at all of this through God's Word. I mean, what are we going to do about that? You see Gen Z, you see millennials, and you're like, well, I don't know what to do.
Well, we started the Israel Institute at Regent to do that through an academic perspective. But I think really we saw when America was really at its lowest in the late 1960s, it seemed like the whole society was falling apart. But what God did something miraculous. He brought about a revival. His presence, at least here in the United States, so many people came to the Lord. Churches began. It was just an outpouring of his spirit in America. Well, why not now? I really believe as we cry out to God, as we pray, we're seeing the beginnings of that now, that he pours his spirit out. When we cry out to him for deliverance, he doesn't spurn us. He comes, he saves. So we need to cry out now for ourselves, our families, for this generation, Gen Z, millennials. But we do it by blessing Israel. Because again, what's God's covenant? And I believe what we see on the streets and on campuses and in the mainstream media, we see an attempt, a satanic, demonic attempt to snuff out God's covenant. That's all this is. It's a rejection of God's covenant. God chose the Jewish people. God chose the land. That wasn't us who did it. That wasn't a political entity. God chose it. And so if we agree with God's word and align ourselves with God's word, the Bible's clear. There's blessing. And if we don't, then there's cursing. So if we want our lives to go well and the lives of our children and our nation, we align ourselves with God's word. That's great hope. And things can turn on a dime, John. I mean, it doesn't take forever and ever for things to turn around. It can happen in a snap. It can happen overnight. If we turn to the Lord, the Lord is always there. He's such a loving Father. We need to stop seeing God as a vengeful, angry God. We need to see him for who he is, the loving God who loved us so much that he died for us. He sacrificed, he gave his life for our life so that we could be redeemed and brought back into perfect relationship with him and live with him for eternity. So if there are people who don't know what's going to happen after they die, they can know. We can be with God forever in eternity in a beautiful place, or the alternative is hell. And hell is also a real place. Just like heaven is real, hell is real. And the Bible says God wishes that all men, all women would be saved. So that's why he's here with outstretched arms to receive everyone into his own. So anyone listening right now can just say, God, I'm a sinner. I receive you and your word. I believe that you are who you say you are. And then you can know the Lord and you can have an eternity with Him in heaven forever.
That's beautiful, and we have about 4 minutes left to the Middle East Report, and we started off talking about something exciting at Regent University, the Israel Institute, I think you called it, and we're going to wrap up with that. I want to give you just two or three more minutes just to encourage everybody in any way you want regarding the this brand new initiative at Regent University to get involved. Again, not just for people in college. This is for everybody.
This is for everybody because, again, there's a lack of knowledge and understanding of Israel's right in international law to the land. This is over 100 years old, John. After World War I, it was called the San Remo Agreement. The victors after World War I met in San Remo, Italy, and they made a decision. The Ottoman Empire collapsed, and so the victors said, okay, we're not going to take the land. We could, because we're victorious, but instead what we're going to do is we're going to create Arab territories and a Jewish land, and we're going to create we're going to carve out and draw the lines just as God said, Genesis 15:18. So they drew the land, and it was called the British Mandate for Palestine. Britain ran that mandate, and they were to help with immigration and bring the Jews in the land, and also France did, and the Britons did that for Iraq as well. So most people don't know that Israel has an undisputed right in international law. It's valid to this day, but most people don't know that. That's why we're creating the Israel Institute. We believe that this current generation of young people and people who are in churches today need to not be dissuaded by the lies that Israel's an occupier, that they have stolen land. Israel didn't steal land. They're the only people group that has a legal right to the land. That's an international law. Recognized by the United Nations. The United Nations might not want to recognize it, but it was adopted in their charter. So this is such great news that we have, John. All we have to do is talk about the truth about history and explain it to churches and Bible studies and individuals, but also anyone who wants to come for an academic background. So we're really in a renaissance, a revival time period where all of the information is there. It's like King Josiah, who opened up the scroll and read it and understood the promises of God. All we want to do is open up the truth of history and explain to people what the facts are. And they're joyous facts that are meant to serve as a blessing to all people on earth. And that's what we want to do, John, share the blessing.
And this is going to be available online. We've got videos, we got curriculum. Has it launched or is it going to launch?
It's launching this fall. So Christian Broadcasting Network has already made 6 movies. They're making their 7th movie. So that will all be available. And all of the things that you and I have been talking about throughout this broadcast, these things will be made available starting this fall. We're very excited. We have a wonderful faculty. So I encourage everyone to take a look at regent.edu at our great programs, our great professors, and you'll see a wonderful school that can add life and blessing to your life.
Michelle Bachman, former Congresswoman, presidential candidate, Dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. Thank you so much for joining us on the Middle East Report, and I hope everybody gets involved, especially with the new Israel initiative that you have launching here in the fall. Thank you for your work. Thank you for what you do. That's the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. Thank you for listening. Podcasts of the show are available anywhere you get your podcast, or you can go to afr.net. Thanks for listening.